This is the Guitar Noise Podcast, episode 25. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Guitar Noise Podcast. Today I talk to Bruce Mathiske, an Australian guitarist known for his solo acoustic guitar playing, who has just embarked on a national tour which kicked off in Victoria and sees Bruce travel through Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland for 2 months. The tour is in support of his new autobiographical album, My Life. I'll play a couple of short excerpts from the album before the interview to give you a chance to hear this fantastic musician. Hi Bruce, thanks for joining me today on the Guitar Noise Podcast. Bruce, you've just released your latest album called My Life, and just wanted to get you on the podcast to have a chat about your, first of all, your acoustic guitar playing, and also how the album came about. So this is a solo album. The last album that I reviewed on my site was with a band. Is that correct? With the Rhythm Express.
Yeah, I've gone back to playing solo, and that's what I really do. There's some ensemble tracks, but it's really a solo project, yes.
And it's a mixture of obviously your own music, but also in the past I've posted videos of you doing covers that you've sort of become quite well known for, doing fingerstyle arrangements of different songs. There's some interesting ones on this album, in fact. You chose Rolling Stones, Painted Black, and also some Pink Floyd as well. It's come out really well. Sounds fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, look, the Rolling Stones, I think, is a great example, and I say in the album notes, of music being about like communication and energy, not so much perfection. You know, they just do what they do unapologetically. They're a great example. They're brilliant. And I used to play that stuff in kids' bands, you know, so Rolling Stones. So it's nice to come back and revisit it, but do it with my voice now. You know, I think that was important. And the Pink Floyd tribute, The Wall, is that album to me is the greatest album of all time. I love it, and I wanted once again just to represent that, and you know, as a thanks, and do it my way.
And you come from a sort of a similar style. Didn't want to pigeonhole you like this, but a similar style to fellow Aussie Tommy Emmanuel. Is that because of your?
That's true. We all come through somehow the unofficial Chet Atkins school of thumb pick. You know, I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, so you actually pay homage to Chet Atkins on the album too, don't you?
Yeah, it's funny because I got onto that style in my 20s. I realised, wow, can you do all this on one guitar? It blew my mind. And whilst I wasn't really a country fan, I thought, but if I can use his techniques and incorporate my world, jazz and classical sounds. And that's been my quest ever since, to actually take some of those techniques and make the guitar its own orchestra, but find this other music to put to it. And that's been, you know, where I'm going to, or that's the end goal.
And do you still use like looping when you're playing live? Because I saw a video when you did a really cool video of it. You've got a looper on the floor, foot pedals, and you just sort of build the track up with different layers.
Yeah, I use it sparingly because my whole thing's built on being solo and playing the bass, the rhythm and the melody. And so I always introduce the loop pedal and say, I'm just going to do some instant recording so people know there's no sequenced pre-recording anything. But I do love it. It's a great tool.
I was reading a bit of your bio, and I read some like a shocking story about when you were younger and you had an injury with a gun that left you paralysed on your left side. Is that?
Yeah, it's strange to look back when you look back. You know, I dermatised as a kid, so my arms were in splints, and then I broke my arm the same year I got a guitar. Then, when I had hepatitis after the gunshot, it took all the skin off my hand. So whatever these incidents are, it seems to affect my guitar playing prowess. And the gunshot, yeah, I was paralysed for a while because the bullet went in my head and it went through my brain, or went across my brain, scarred that. So, you know, that left me paralysed down the left side. So that's a biggie.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing that you managed to suddenly become this incredible guitar player after overcoming something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, not many people talk about being shot in the head because they're usually dead, you know, I suppose. But what's I guessing, and looking back, and I don't think about it, it's not something I dwell on, but I went through such a stage. For a couple of weeks, I probably didn't look at the guitar because they didn't know whether I'd get the feeling back in my arm or not. You know, the doctor couldn't tell me something like that. But I kind of had a feeling I would after a couple of weeks of, you know, not thinking I would. But the amount of scales and arpeggios and exercises and stretches I did probably made me better.
Yeah, so you actually went back to school a little bit and started working on technique or whatever to get your hand moving, I suppose.
That was a therapy thing too, and I realised, and then, you know, and that enabled me later on to get great independence, and I probably kept that work ethic from that physio, if you like, and that work ethic's always remained with me to this day.
God, that's an amazing story. I'm glad that it all turned out so well.
Yeah, and I suppose you've got to look back and say, why did that happen? And I really think it was, you know, just because I was a teenager just messing around like teenagers do, and it was like, you know, you love the guitar. I had a job that I'd go home in lunchtimes and play it. It's, love your guitar and your music, go and do it. Stop being a typical teenager, you know?
Another interesting point on the album I wanted to talk about was a track called Destination Morocco, because it immediately reminded me of an old Page and Plant live album called No Quarter. And I don't know if you're aware of this album, but it was back in the 90s or early 90s.
Well, I haven't heard of it. I've told me about it. It's amazing how many people have sort of found their way to Morocco. You know, Hendrix did, Cat Stevens, and the Zeppelin boys. So I've heard of it. I need to actually hear that.
Because they incorporated a Moroccan orchestra, and they went on a sort of national tour or maybe a world tour, and they took this Moroccan, I don't know if it was gamelan or something like that, some sort of little orchestra with them in it, and your track Moroccan Destination Morocco, it captures that vibe, but in a much more sort of simplistic way. There's not a crazy amount of instrumentation, but, you know, just with the guitar and a few other sort of elements, it really has that same feel.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's nice to know, because I went there about 8 years ago with a film crew from England, and we filmed me wandering around Morocco and playing with people, and that was the end result of it. It's like a cooking show, and the idea is I wander around. And we did it in Vietnam last year too, so there'll be more of that later. But it's about and the guitar's an amazing inn. I got to play with street buskers. I got invited to people's homes. We trekked up the Atlas Mountains on mules. You know, it was amazing. And the end of the show is me taking the ingredients like a cooking show and sitting down and playing and saying, well, this is how I play, but bringing the Moroccan music into it. So that piece was actually written for that some 8 years ago, and I've never done anything with it. So it was really, and so you've nailed that exactly what my intent was.
Oh, very cool. And you've used like a bit of delay, haven't you, and stuff to give it a bit of a, I don't know, a bit of different effects on there and elements.
Yeah, what happened was that reverb gives the sparseness. I used a didgeridoo at the start because it's Destination Morocco via the Sahara. So that drone of the didgeridoo represents the sparseness of the Sahara Desert, you know, and some of those ambient things I do. And then it goes into Morocco. That's the idea of that. So, yeah, and there's looping in that. So I'll set, like in the first half's pretty solo, because it goes for 8 minutes or something, I think. And then I start to put a little loop down and it builds and it builds. So I can do that pretty much the same live. And I use didgeridoo too, so I've got the didgeridoo on a stand. I can sort of go across to that and do that. Yeah.
Okay. I was just about to ask if it was you playing didge as well on there. That's cool.
Yeah. No, a while ago I recorded it, ages ago, too many albums ago, I recorded a duet with a guy with didge, and I thought, well, I want to play this live, so I need to learn how to play the didgeridoo. And I love it. I love that drone. It's really evocative and spooky.
Yeah. I've got one, but I've never really learned to play it. It's just sitting in the corner looking nice at the moment.
That's for a souvenir.
So I want to talk about your actual, your style. Obviously, you say you've come through the sort of Chet Atkins and whatever. What other influences have you had from, like, guitar player influences?
Well, my biggies were, like, cause back in the early days without YouTube and that, you know, I lived in bush. There was nothing. You know, and the first, I went to Bendigo, a bigger place, and I said to the guy, teach me to play like George Benson, because he was the first guy I'd heard play, you know, fancy stuff, and I thought, that's for me, you know. And he said, yeah, I'll teach you that, but first you've got to learn this, which was Bach things, you know. So he was a classical teacher, but I loved that. I've never heard anything like that. Loved it. Then I moved to Queensland, found a jazz teacher, and from that I heard Barney Kessel, Herb Ellis, and Charlie Bird, you know, the great guitar, and that was fantastic. That really bouncy swing, I loved that, and I hadn't heard that before. It's amazing. Then Chet. And what got me out of the Chet thing, you know, which was the book. That sort of boom chink, boom chink, boom chink, you know, and I learned every single standard and just applied that boom chink to it. Was I loved Leo Kottke then. He played funkier, and that sort of thought I heard that finger style. And I thought, now we can take it some other places. So that kind of got me out of that boom chink, boom chink, boom chink, you know. So, but before that, because I was an electric player, you know, Van Halen stood us all on our head when he came out doing that stuff, you know. And he's still one of my favourites, you know. I know we've got the Byers and Satrianis, but as far as musicianship and composition goes, geez, Van Halen still—he's right up there. He's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. He was pretty much the reason that I started playing guitar. Like I'd sort of started playing, and then I discovered him about 6 months later, and I was like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in that electric phase, we all played, like, you know, the standard plectrum sort of playing, but then the tapping come along and legato lines and things like that, and Van Halen. There were probably others before him, but he made it prominent, you know, and the whammy starter, the whammy bar stuff and all that, and I was like, wow, you know, that, and so musical. And I suppose because he played in a rock band and just had a short solo, he didn't have to do the whole piece, you know, so he'd come and go, bang. And that lead break he does in Michael Jackson's as a thriller, Beat It or something, I think it's the best ever.
Do you think that your electric guitar playing helped your acoustic fingerstyle playing, or do you think it may have be a totally different style and you have to rethink a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny because I pick up the plectrum now, because fingerstyle, of course, you use a thumb pick in your fingers, but I pick up the plectrum now and I'm still really, really comfortable, and I go back and I don't play electric now unless it's for a soundtrack or... I have a very short track on this album. I pick up and it comes back instantly. Like it never leaves you. You know, you pick up an electric and push on the distortion pedal. It's like, it's amazing how, you know, it comes back easily. And, you know, at some stage I may do an electric album, but I want to think carefully how I do it, you know, and, you know, it wouldn't be just me getting a section and me shredding over the top. You know, I'm hearing orchestras and choirs, and the power from an electric guitar is just unbelievable. So there's other places it needs to go. So, but that's not in the near future, but it's still swimming around there.
Okay. So can we talk a little bit about the guitars that you play?
Yep.
Do you use a particular brand or...?
Well, I'm not particularly loyal, because I say to people that give me guitars, I'll play them until I find a better one. You know, so I record with Jim Williams Guitars, who's a luthier, originally from just above Sydney and around Sydney, you know, down the south coast. So I record with his guitars. They're beautiful, acoustic, but they don't pick up some things, so I can't use them live. They don't work. It's a funny thing. You get a great-sounding acoustic guitar, fantastic to mic. You go to put it through a PA, it all does is feedback. And
yeah.
Yeah, and so for live now, I'm using an Ayers guitar, and they're built in Vietnam, but they're married between the beautiful craftsmanship of what they do and some Fishman pickup. But I'm able to use the microphone. And a lot of these guitars, you know, they've got a microphone within, but you can never actually hear it because of feedbacks. But with these, I'm able to use it, so it actually sounds like an acoustic guitar, even though it's PA, so it's brilliant.
So you don't have to cover the sound hole. I saw Tommy Emmanuel once covering the sound hole with sort of a plug of some sort.
No, well, he needs to get an airs, doesn't he? yeah, well, everything you do like that to deaden the sound has an effect to the acoustic quality of the sound. And sometimes, you know, and you've got to say in different environments, if you've got a huge PA next to you on the stage, you know, that's when you get the problems with feedback and things like that. So possibly use it sometimes and not other times. Because I think if you had the choice, you wouldn't use it.
Right. So your album, My Life, it's out now, isn't it? Available now on...
I think it's out today. Yeah, it seems like, for me, it's been around for years. I think it comes out today.
If people want to check out your music, should they go to your website or YouTube channel or...?
Our website's the best, bruceguitar.com, because from that there's some free tab and notation on the site too for the finger pickers, and you know, from that there's links to Facebook and YouTube things and all that, so it's probably the best source.
Excellent. And any little tips or advice to people starting out with acoustic guitar? Because I know I sort of, when I started playing acoustic guitar, I mean, I studied classical, but when I actually tried to play some sort of Chet style guitar, I found it quite difficult on the particular Takamine that I had, and the action was a bit high and it was hard to sort of press down. Is there any tips, like, do you need to have your action sorted? Do you need to have a certain guitar or...
Yeah, set up. When you get a guitar from a music shop, the action's always too high. The action, for those that don't know, is the distance between the strings and the fretboard. So they always tend to have it too high. So you've got to find that happy medium between. You don't want it buzzing, but you don't want it to be hard work. But I think what happens too when you start finger style, you've got to actually play a lot of bar chords as well and cover all the strings, and that's a bit of a shock if you've been a single note player too. So there's not. My only real rule is slowly and correctly.
Yeah.
When practicing.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Bruce. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and good luck with the album.
Thanks, John. Nice to talk.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you can follow Guitar Noise on Twitter @GuitarNoise. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/GuitarNoise. You can also find Guitar Noise on Google+, and of course at the website, guitarnoise.com. And remember, it's Guitar Noise with a Z.